Okay.
So tonight, in part two, we're going to be talking about really the whole structure of Kabbalat Shabbat, right? Last week we talked about kind of like what was the impetus for Kabbalat Shabbat, and then we talked about Yedid Nefesh, which wasn't even originally written for Kabbalat Shabbat, but fits in very nicely with Kabbalat Shabbat. Tonight, we're going to talk about the main kind of parts of Kabbalat Shabbat, the structure, the Tehillim, and then obviously there's the Chadodi, which we're not talking about tonight. We're going to skip that and put that next week. And then after Kabbalat, after the Chadodi, we do Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Hashem Malach, so we're going to talk about that. And then after that, there's Bamid Madlikin, which we're not going to talk about. We kind of mentioned it last week, Bamid Madlikin, there's a couple of reasons for it, but it's not, like, crucial to, like, the Kabbalat Shabbat piece. So tonight we're going to get back into what are these Tehillim doing here, what do they mean, what's their structure. Obviously, Tehillim is much older than Kabbalat Shabbat, right? Tehillim is in Tanakh, David HaMelech, we're going back very far. So clearly, when the Kabbalists started inserting Kabbalat Shabbat, they had a purpose for these particular, like, Tehillim. And so we're going to talk about that, what they're doing here, and the structure of that, and we're going to see some really interesting kind of Kabbalistic mystical interpretations of these sections, which is Dafka, why they were chosen. And just like we saw last week, we're also going to see distinctions between the Arizal and Rav Moshe Cordovero. Rav Moshe Cordovero, as I mentioned last week, the Ramak, he predates the Arizal. They do overlap, but like predates him as like a major Kabbalist. And he, in many ways, concretizes Kabbalah up until this point, taking a lot from the Zohar. And then the Ramak, the Arizal comes up, and he innovates in many ways. Like, think of the notion, many ways, of like the Shvirat HaKilim, the breaking of the vessels for creation, and like all these different things. That's a lot of the Arizal. But it really started a lot with the Ramak, but then the Arizal kind of builds upon it and goes in his own way. And so today, most of what we have today in terms of like Kabbalah is really everything funneled through the Ari, very much like Lurianic Kabbalah. So we're going to see a few distinctions here, and our structure is actually a little bit of a kind of a morph of both of them. We kind of take different pieces, so I'll talk about that. Okay. So before we even get to that, I just want to mention that even going back to the Rishonim, right? Think of the Or Zeruah who is living, I just mentioned a moment ago, living in the 13th century, but Rabbeinu Tam living a century earlier. Rabbeinu Tam himself says, you know, when we enter into Shabbat, we should essentially sing something as Shabbat enters, just as we sing before Kala. Right, Kitzin Meratim Lifnei Akala, we dance before Akala, we're supposed to sing, there's a mitzvah of dancing before Akala, and Shabbos, and many Midrashim, talk about Shabbos as a Kala. So there clearly was already a custom of Minog to get ready for Shabbos through singing. And so, essentially, we already see this, and we see Shabbos referred to as a Kala, as a queen. But that's not the only metaphor we have for Shabbos. Shabbos is also referred to as a Malka. Right, Shabbos Malkasa, right? This notion of Shabbos as a queen and Shabbos as a bride. Right, there's obviously similarities. Both are feminine. Obviously, queen perhaps has a bit more like maybe she's hidden in the palace or she has authority. She's married to the king. Akala, you might get more like a Yedid Nefesh type, like love poetry. You wouldn't really have that necessarily about a queen. But essentially, you get this notion of Akala and a Malka. Note how they're actually very similar words, right? Kala, Malka, you just put a man before a Kala. Malka, it's like Melech Malka. Okay. We also have some Rishonim who actually refer to Shabbat in the masculine. So I think last week I was asked about like this Zahar Nekeva question. So sometimes Shabbat is actually even masculine. Some refer to going out to greet Shabbat as a Melech, not even a Malka. So we do have that, although I think the one that is like primary becomes feminine. But we do have both masculine and feminine, which we have by Shabbos too. Right? Because think about Shabbos, even just from halacha category. So men and women are equally obligated in Shabbos, right? There is these discussions about like Kiddush, and all, like because men and women are equally obligated. And so by Shabbos, we also have this notion of Melech and Malka. And that also essentially comes about a little bit, and we'll see this more next week, in the notions of Zachor v'Shamor. Right? This notion of Zachor by remembering and Shamor keeping Shabbos. Zachor, like Zachar, takes on this masculine, and Shamor, protecting, keeping, like almost like behind the palace, Shmira, is the feminine. So we'll talk more about that next week. Zachor v'Shamor v'Dibur Echad, obviously. But just to keep that in mind. Part of accepting upon ourselves Shabbos and getting ready for, you know, what we're about to do, and we'll discuss Kabbalat Shabbat now, it's called Kabbalat Shabbat. What does that mean?
Accepting Shabbos.
So what's, from like a, from your perspective, Hannah, like what does it mean? Like what's the purpose of Kabbalat Shabbat?
Like actually
bringing it in. Bring it in. So it's almost like Ner Rosh Shabbos. Like you could even argue that probably most of the people going to shul were men, so maybe women are lighting candles at home, and this was like the men's way of like accepting Shabbos. Kabbalat Shabbat. Accepting Shabbos. But does the phrase Kabbalat Shabbat remind you of another phrase that's Kabbalat something? Omachut Shemayim. Right, what is Kabbalat Omachut Shemayim? Kabbalat Omachut Shemayim is this notion that, especially during Shema, we accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. Right? We accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, meaning we accept upon ourselves the mitzvos, Yichud Hashem. And what we do by Kabbalat Shabbat is that we accept upon ourselves Shabbos. And in some ways, we'll see some parallels between Kabbalat Shabbat and Kabbalas Ol Malchut Shamayim. It's a type of acceptance. And in many ways, if you think back to Har Sinai, there's many Midrashim, and even not even Midrashim, the Torah describes it specifically about like the Jewish people getting some sort of crown of sorts. And so Midrashim and the Zohar, for example, talk about how we, the Jewish people, get crowned on Shabbos, right? The actual language is mit atrim, like oter, like to be crowned. B'nishamot chadashot. We get what on Shabbos? Nishamot chadashot. A new soul. Right, which obviously relates to a kind of a phrase that we're familiar with. Nishama yitera. We get an extra soul. So on Shabbos, we not only are accepting upon ourselves, like halachatli kabbalat Shabbat, we're accepting upon ourselves Shabbos. We're perhaps doing a little bit of like this kabbalat omachut shamayim, and we'll talk more about that maybe. And we're accepting not only Shabbos, but maybe what also are we greeting?
The Neshama
Yetera. The Neshama Yetera is this additional soul that we're going to be granted, crowned with on Shabbos. And so Kabbalat Shabbat is another way to say we're going out to greet that. Which if you think back to last week, I mentioned how the Arizal used to go out into the field, right? It was like this geographical, I'm going to go out and greet Shabbos, like, because that's where the sun is setting, and I'm going to accept upon myself. You know, that was his kind of ordeal. Moshe Kadavera said, no, you just do it in shul. There's a bit of a, you know, distinction from, like, a mystical perspective. Like, one thought he had to, like, physically, like, go out there and greet. The other was, no, it's, like, internal. It's do it in shul. You don't have to go out to do it. But you see there's, like, they're both trying to get at, like, we have to do this, like, Kabbalah of sorts, acceptance that's taking place during this moment. So we're accepting upon ourselves this Neshama Yetera. Perhaps we're accepting upon ourselves, maybe we're greeting the Shabbos Queen, the Kala, the Shechina, for example. Okay, so that's essentially what we're doing for Kabbalat Shabbat, and that's kind of the entrance into what we're about to say when it comes to this section, which is the Tehillim. Okay, so I brought before you our Tehillim here, and if you notice, I just put on the top, I'll explain the chart in a few moments, but essentially we have a chart, this is what your Siddur looks like. I brought everything before you. We start with Psalm 95, which is the Chuni Ranana, 96, 97, 98, 99, these are the Tehillim. Then after 99, we jump to 29. That's Mizmor David. Then we do Ana B'Koach, L'Chadadi. And then we do 92 and 93, which is Mizmor Tehillim Shabbos and Hashem Alach. So what are they doing here? What do they represent? So to understand why we have these here, we have to understand, even just before we look at inside the psalm, like what they exactly are trying to get at, is what exactly is the purpose of saying these number of Tehillim. Right, so Shabbos is day 7 in creation. And part of the process of Kabbalat Shabbat from a mystical perspective is that the only way you can properly accept upon yourself Shabbos, meaning in a not only like halachic way, but like a mystical way, is to first do a tikkun, first fix any issues you may have had with all the previous days of the week. So each psalm leading up, each tehillah, up until you get to Shabbos, which we'll talk about, is supposed to be a tikkun for that week. So the first would be Sunday, and that's what I wrote in the chart. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then the almost like the that intermediate moment of like sunset of like Friday going to Shabbos, that's dafka when we say Ana B'Koach and L'Chadodi. Okay? And then once we say Anapoch al-Dudi, then we say Mizmor Tehillim Shabbos, because now it's Shabbos. So that's the structure that we're about to do. I'll add that, you know, so obviously it's like, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's like 6 Tehillim, and then we have L'cha Dudi, which kind of breaks it, and then we have like 2 more. But the structure of 6 Tehillim is actually quite normal for us. Think about it, what else do we have that's a unit that's 6 Tehillim? Like, yeah, there's a Kabbalistic, but it's actually not that crazy. Hollow. Also structures, there's like units in Pesukei Dezimra, which also account for 6 Tehillim. So it's actually not, it's pretty normal that we have 6 to structure a unit.
What does it mean that it's like a tikkun for every day? Like, why would it, if there's also like, what about the Shir Shal Yom that are supposed to represent every day, why would it?
So Shir Shal Yom, yeah, there's this obligation, because you guys, they used to say Shir Shal Yom in the Beis HaMikdash, so we say it today. So this is saying, it's not that we're just doing what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, but each of these Tehillim is going to fix any problems that we had in our relationship with Hashem, any Averos, by having the right Kavanah, because only then can we greet the Sabbath Queen, greet Shabbos, which represents, and we'll explain, which represents the unification of Hashem's name. The Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's this like notion of like of uniting God's name, and that can only happen if we do those things. So we'll see how that gets worked out in our Tehillim itself. Okay. So as I mentioned last week as well, the Arizal probably only said Mizmor LeDavid, maybe Mizmor Shilim Shabbos. He did not say the Luchon and Ranana through up until L'cha Dudi. The Arizal also probably didn't say L'cha Dudi. It was written like before he died. It was written around it was in his lifetime, but he probably didn't say it. Some say he did, but he probably didn't. But the Moshe Kodevero probably did say it, and many others did say L'cha Dudi. It was written during their lifetime, but it was something that they said because it represented the ideals that we'll talk about next week. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So essentially, just to lay that out there, the first time, by the way, all these Tehillim don't even show up in a sitter for hundreds of years, not until the 18th century with the Rav Yaakov Emden. So nobody's... People might be saying them, but they're not really printing them in Siddurim yet, because maybe people have been hugged them to say, but it wasn't like set. By like the 18th century, 19th century, now it's like everyone's putting all these Tehillim in. This is what we do. This is how we start Shabbos. So now let's look inside and see exactly what's going on here. Okay. So just so you know, I've given you, besides the weekdays, I've given you the Sfirot that they correlate to. So when you think of Sfirot, I brought a little chart here. When you think of Sfirot, so we have this little Sfirot chart. Sfiros chart. So the top is Keter, Chochma, and Bina, the top three. So according to the chart I gave you, so Sunday represents Bina, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, okay? Which is essentially, there's considered 10th Sfirot. The top three are kind of Chochma, Bina, Das. They're kind of like up there, you know, more intellectual. And then you have the bottom seven. So according to the chart I just gave you, Sunday does represent Bina. It represents creation. It creates the world through this Bina, through distinction. Bina is all about distinction and creation. So Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And you can look into, there's kind of some light, like loose parallels to different days of creation. I will note that according to the Arizal and others, really he doesn't say Bina is day one, but rather Chesed. So now you just push everything over. So just so you know, this is according to, the one I gave you is according to the author of the Chad Adi, which we'll talk about next week. This is how he understands it. But the Arizal understood Sunday as Chesed, and then Monday as Gvura, so-and-so, and then when you get to Friday, because you just moved them all over once, you make Friday Yesod, and then Shabbos is Malchus. Shabbos meaning Malchus, which is kingship, which is Kala, Shabbos, Malchusa, etc. So each day is supposed to be a tikkun for those days, but it also represents each of these Sfirot, because what you really want to do is you want to be Miyached, Shem Hashem, the name of God. And the only way to do that is to align all the Sfirot properly and to do Takanos for all the issues that were kind of done in that past week. Also, just so you know, Yudke Vavke, which is the name of Hashem, maybe not enough time to go into this, but each of those letters represents different parts of the Sfirot. So in the Lurianic Kabbalah, really like the Yud represents kind of like Keter Chochma, like tip of the Yud is Keter, then the Yud is Chochma, then the Hey gets down to Bina, and then the Vav represents the next 6 Sfiros, which essentially are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, essentially those, and then you get down to the last, and Yesod, and the last Hey is Malchus. So essentially what you're doing is you're trying to unite Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, the name of Hashem, And you're doing that through, like, signaling through these Tehillim that it's going to be a takana for the week, and that's what you're trying to do, to, to accept Shabbos to get ready for the week to come. Any question?
Yeah, but it doesn't, like, kind of just a technical question.
Yes.
I was it Rav Shlomo Apitz, like, the Rizal's student,
or no? So they were, in the same time period, they knew each other, but they but their Rizal was so innovative that his system was different. Like, they're obviously connected, but his system was unique. He, there were, like, slight variances in their approaches. So the L'chadodi is actually not written K'derech Arizal, because it was written, like, more like in the approach of Shema Alkavetz and the Ramak, just kind of interestingly enough. Again, like, we can apply different, but, like, just if you were to, like, we'll see this next week, the in-depth analysis, it actually doesn't reflect the Arizal, per se. Yeah. Okay, so how does it open? L'chune ranana, right? Psalm 95, L'chune ranana. So, L'chune ranana is understood, let's praise. So L'chune ranana is like a, it's almost like a call to come into shul, to daven. L'chune ranana, let's come and let's begin. You know, and it's also maybe an introduction to what God did, which is like, God creates the world, like, L'chune ranana, like, let's play ball, right? Let's get started in the world. So that's essentially how we open the section. Again, there's like loose, if you look at different mekubalim and different perushim, they'll allude to loose kind of, you know, this one is all about chesed, or meaning this is all about, like, again, chesed is really Monday, but this is all like Hashem creates the world with this notion of like, of complete giving, and there's allusions to that in this psalm, be that as it may. I want to just point to some of the highlights from the mekubalim's perspective. So L'chune ranana, come and pray, right? L'chune ranana. And we end with Yevo'un el Menuchasi, right? Right, we say in Kabbalat Shabbat, in L'Charodi, which is a very important phrase in Kabbalah, in Jewish philosophy, which is like, Sof Maaseh B'machshava Tchila, which is that Hashem, from the beginning, knew what was going to be. Like, even, like, it's like the same notion of God looks into the Torah and creates the world. From the beginning, everything was set. So at the very end, says, even on day one, what's the purpose of all this? Yevo'un el Menuchasi, what's Menuchasi? Clothes, not exactly. Menucha means like resting. What's the menucha? So a couple things. Menuchasi could be, it's often understood, at least in Tehillim's Pshuto, might be it's like Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, sometimes referred to as like menucha, like the place of rest. Also, menucha is, even from the beginning, God knew what was going to be on day seven. Menuchasi, my day of rest, Shabbos. Right, so you understand that they're, again, did David HaMelech write this with that in mind? I don't know. But this is how the Kabbalah, the Mekubalim understood this particular Tehillah. This is how we open. So then we turn to the next day, you know, Monday, Shir Lashem Shir Chadash, Shir Lashem Kol Aretz. Again, there's like slight allusions you can connect each day, but I want to focus on some important pieces because, you know, maybe in a Tehillim class we can go into depth of it, but if you look in the bold, this is an important line. Yismuchu Hashemayim v'tagel aretz. Right? May it be that the heavens rejoice, and Gila, right, tagel, and the land also rejoices. So Mekubalim understood this as exactly what we're about to do, which is like the unification of the heaven and the earth. The unification of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the lower Vav and Hei representing the earthly, right, the lower sphero, versus the Yud-Hei, which represents the higher sphero, right? Yismuchu Hashemayim v'tagel aretz is a reference to what the job that we have to do, which is to unite Shem Hashem. And what's beautiful about these psukim, if anyone want to just look at Yismuchu Hashemayim v'tagel aretz, what is the acronym? Yismuchu Hashemayim v'tagel aretz? Acrostic, whatever you want to call it. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Hei and Vav and Hei. So it works out very beautifully if you're trying to like look for these things, right? Yud Hei and Vav and Hei, that's Shem Hashem. Yismuchu Hashemayim v'tagel aretz, right? This is like what the whole purpose of all of this is. Is in order to kind of bring Shem Hashem closer and unite the name of God. So that's numbers. That's you know, Monday, that's 96. Then you move on to 97, Hashem Malach, Tagel Aretz. Again, now this is obviously continuing. This moves to Tagel Aretz. Now it picks up Tagel Aretz on day 3. Okay? I want to jump to, you'll see the next day, but I want to jump actually, we're going to just continue and jump to Psalm 29. We're not going to have time to go in depth for each of the specific Tehillim,
But 29 is an important one. So Psalm 29, as you notice, we went 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. It's like 5. Then we jump to 29. So Psalm 29, like I mentioned before, was already being said by the Arizal. He was saying it. So Psalm 29, and he wasn't saying the earlier one. Psalm 29 is a very specific, it's unique. It was said by the Arizal. That was his way. And if you look in some like Siddurim, sometimes like, or even some halacha questions, it's like, let's say you come to shul, again, assuming you get through Kabbalat Shabbat early enough that like it's not actually Shabbos yet. According to some, what happens when you say Mishmo David? That's when Shabbos starts. Now some say, oh, maybe it's Bowie Kala, some say it's English name of Shabbos. There's different approaches here, but for some, Mishmo David is when you accept Shabbos, according to some. So Mishmo David is very important. It's very important for the Arizal, and it's also very important, by the way, just like in Chazal. Chazal referenced this because within Mishmo David, I bolded it for you, not the first time, but we'll get back to that in a moment. There are seven kolos, seven voices of Hashem, right? Kol Hashem Alamai, Kol Hashem Bakoch, Kol Hashem Bahadur, Kol Hashem Shavar Aziz, Kol Hashem Yachl Midbar, Kol Hashem Michol Eilot. Right, the seven kolos, and each of these seven kolos from Mekubalim represents seven lower spheros. And they go in order. Right, the first one on the second line is Kol Hashem Al Hamayim. So again, this is going to be based upon the Arizal. So if you notice again, I told you Bina was the first one according to the author of the Chadadi, but now I'm going to just transfer for a moment to the Arizal's position, which means just move everything over one. So what's the first day, not Bina, what's the first day going to be? Chesed, okay, good. Kol Hashem Al Hamayim. So according to many, Mayim is Chesed. By the way, Mayim is really also Bina. Mayim is according to a different approach, but well, let's call it Chesed for now. Kol Hashem Alach Mayim, which was Chesed. Kol Hashem Bakoach, Koach strength, Gvura. Kol Hashem Behadar, the glory, which is Tiferes. Kol Hashem Shovei Arazim is Netzach. Kol Hashem Chotzev Lahavos Eish is Hod. Kol Hashem Yachal Midbar is Yesod, and Kol Hashem Michol Eilot is Malchus. So each of these seven kolos get assigned a sphera to represent the seven lower spheros. But what represents the upper spheros? So if you look in the very first line in Mishmo David, I highlighted it for you. It's quite beautiful, actually, also how it starts. Mishmo David, Havu La Hashem B'nei Elim, Havu La Hashem Kavod Ba'oz, Havu La Hashem Kavod Shema. I bolded for you, and they love this. Havu La Hashem Kavod. Spelled backwards. Kaf, Lamed, Hey, Kala. Havu La Hashem Kevot Shemo, spells backwards, Kala. So for both of these, you have the notion of Kala, which represents Bowie Kala, right? Which already is referred to as in the Gemara itself. And the notion is when you accept Shabbos, you're accepting in a Shabbos, but we actually say it twice, right? We say it twice there, we have it twice alluded to here. There's a number of reasons for that, one of which might just be that it's like Shabbos up there, Shabbos down here. It represents that unification of two. So there's this doubling of Kala and Kala. But I want us to take it a little bit deeper, which is that we say Bowie Kala twice. Now we're going to, for those who like Gematria, this is your time. Bowie Kala... again, if you just, we're not using Bowie Kala, it's Bet, here it's Bet Aleph Yud, right, taking out the Vav, just put like a dot, Bet Aleph Yud, Bowie Kala. So Bowie Kala, the Gematria of Bowie Kala is 68, and the Gematria of the word Kol is 136, right, Kol Hashem, 7 times, Kol, 136. What is 68 times 2? Kala, twice over, is 136. So there's this notion that each Kol is like trying to bring you closer, like there's this unification that's taking place, and each kol is 136, and Bowie Kala is supposed to get you, it's supposed to be like a kol itself. Bowie Kala 68, Gematria 68, say it twice, you get to a kol. And kol is very important, right? Because Hashem creates the world through speech, kol, through a voice, right? The notion of kol dodi dofek, right? That. There's also this allusion to like God is yearning for our redemption, called Uditofek and Shiashirim. So like there's a voice calling out for redemption, and you just have to listen and do something about it. And it's about a unification of the Kala or the Malka together. And by the way, the Zohar itself says that Shabbos is both a Kala and a Malka, which is why if in the Sephardic you say Boi Malkita, right at the end, it's like Boi Kala, Boi Kala, Boi Shabbat Malka, right? Shabbat Malkita, because that's how it's in the Zohar. The Zohar tells us Shabta, right? Shabbos, Ihi Malkisa is the queen, and Ve'ihi Kala, right? This notion of Shabbos being both a queen and a bride. So this is a little bit of understanding of like why the Arizal would have said this, and he's doing all these kind of kavanos to unify the Kala, unify Shem Hashem, unify the Jewish people with Hashem through these kolos. And many had the custom of not only doing this whole thing once, but doing these Nizmo David seven times. If you think about, what else do we do seven times? What is it? Oh, Kachsof, good one. I was thinking different, but fine. Think Yamim Noraim. Hakafos again, according to Chazal, according to the Kabbalah, that represents the seven lower spheros. By shofar, right? We say before shofar, we say the Mizmor Livnei Korach seven times, right? There's this notion seven times representing the 7 days of the creation, 7 days, seven spheros. It has a power to it. Seven kolos. So some had the custom of even saying this seven times over. So if you want to do that, by all means. So there was this beautiful custom to do that. And that is represented. This represents essentially like Friday going into Shabbos, right? Because this is like number six. So that's Kabbalat Shabbat, right? You do Kabbalat Shabbat on Friday. That's the whole point. It's to extend the Kedusha, to accept Shabbos, to accept Shabbos, to even on Friday. So that's kind of what's taking place here. And then at that very moment, what comes next in our Siddur? Ana B'Koch. Because what Ana B'Koch will do, and then we'll talk about Ana B'Koch for a few minutes. Ana B'Koch is the bridge when you get into Lachadidi. Because Lachadidi is like, this is all about like, it's like Shkia time. Like, this is all about like the acceptance of Shabbos. We had day one, day two, day Friday, Mizmo David. And now we're going to say Ana B'Koch, which is almost like a prelude to Kabbalat Shabbat. And then Mizmo Shiva Yom Shabbos is Shabbos itself. So let's talk a little bit about Ana B'Koch, okay? Let's jump. And then we'll jump to back in a few moments. Okay, let's go to source number four.
But is there a reason why it's 29? Like,
why it doesn't? 29? Well, it's just because, remember the Ramak said the first ones and didn't say 29. The Arizal did say 29, so we just put it there. Yeah, we put it there. So look at Ana B'Koch, source number four. So just to give you a little bit of background, we don't know who wrote Ana B'Koch. It was written sometime in probably medieval Spain. But we have a lot of different versions of a type of Ana B'Koch. Meaning to say, we have many different versions of the same acrostic. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Taf, Tzadi, Kuf, Resh. Why? Because this is a very ancient custom. It's already quoted for us in the Gemara itself. Of a Shem Hashem, that's 42 letters. But there's even a longer one that's in the 70s. But this is a long custom. Look in source number five before we even get to it. Source number five, Kiddushin, Gemara and Kiddushin. It says, Amar Gehuda Amar Rav. Shem ben Arba'im Ushtayim Otiyot. Right, the name of Hashem, that's 42 letters. Ein Mosrino So Ad Lishin Tzanua. We don't like tell it over. We don't tell anyone. Don't teach it to somebody who's not Tzanua. The Anav, the Omed, Mechatzi, Amav, Einu Koeis. Right, such a person has to be like a good, upstanding, like righteous person. We don't teach it to them. So what is this 42-letter? I've read Tanakh. I've never seen such a thing. It's not in Tanakh, or the 42-letter name of Hashem. So there's this ancient customs going back to probably sometime by Rishon, like by Shani, we don't know, that of this 42-letter name of Hashem, what's Rashi say? What is this 42-letter name of Hashem? Reading Gemara, what's Rashi say? Someone tell me what the last three words of Rashi is. What's that mean? We don't really know. Like, nobody explained it. Like, what essentially Rashi's telling us is like, I don't know. Like, there's this Gemara tells us like about, I don't know what. Like, I'm not a Makubal. I don't know. Now, others did have Kabbalistic. It's like not the same type of Kabbalah, but like mystical interpretations of this. But he's like, Lo Prishulana, we don't really know what it is. Right? It's like almost like a lost tradition. Again, it gets kind of reinvigorated. We don't really know the source of this. But I will tell you, there's a couple of interesting anecdotes about 42 being a very important number. I know you were thinking Chai and 36. 42 is very important, and I'll tell you a couple of examples. So one is that they say it's counting from the, it's counting the letters in the Torah from Bereshis, from Bet of Bereshis, through the Bet of Tohu Vavohu. So that's 42 letters. There's reasons for that. We're not going to get into it. Ve'ahavta, it's 42 words. Right? No, like that's connected to Olmachut Shemayim, our love of Hashem. So like this notion of like 42, we have the 42 Masa'ot, the 42 places that the Jewish people went, right? That we even read in a special like way in the Torah at the beginning, at the very end of Sefer Bamidbar. So 42 has like a very significant number. But it's a little like unclear exactly how it got there in terms of what it means, like these letter combinations. But essentially, the letter combinations that you see in the parentheses that we don't pronounce, we just like scan them. It's kind of like, you know, on Yom Kippur where it's like scan here, don't read. It's kind of like that. So people came up with poems using those letters. This one just stuck. There's a bunch of them. But it if you look at it, what is it? It's six lines, right? Six lines. It's seven lines, representing the lower seven sfirot. Once again, 7 days of creation. We're saying God's name, doing a tikkun for the week that has been. And it says some add at the end, Baruch Shem Kivod Machot Elom Va'ed. Now this ties in beautifully to what we just said before, which is that Kabbalah Shabbat is about Kabbalah O Machot Shemayim. Right, we are accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, which is Hashem's name, which is the Torah, and then we end Baruch Shem Kivod Machot Elom Va'ed because that's the same thing we do by Shema. Right? We say Shema O Machot Shemayim, and then we say, what does Shema mean? Baruch Shem Kivod Machot Elom Va'ed. So it's kind of like a really fascinating way of understanding what's going on here. And if you like look in depth a little bit, each of the lines kind of represents like a, like each line kind of represents an allusion to different sefirot. So remember how we talked about like there's chesed and gvura, so each line has like allusions to what it might mean. But this was a custom that developed and was added in later into Kabbalah Shabbat. Does anyone know where else it appears in this Siddur?
Well,
Anavakach.
Yeah, they
give you mincha with a korbanot.
With korbanot, Sfardim, mincha, Ashkenazim. Anyone see it in their Siddur anywhere?
My Siddur, my mincha Mario card is Ashkenaz, and it still has it.
Oh, really? I never noticed that. Okay. Who else has it? So in the morning in Shacharist, Korin doesn't, Artscroll does. In Korbanos, after the section that's like Abai Hav Mesader, Seder Maracha, which is this Gemara about the Avoda, like the order of the Avoda, we make the Shem, we say Anabakoach. But there's a connection between saying Anabakoach and like, kind of like, it's like a way of like proclaiming God. So we say it by the Avoda in the Avoda section, according to some, and we say it before Shabbos. It's some sort of like unification of God's name, and some have the custom of saying it there, and some have the custom of saying it here.
Yeah, do people not say this on like during Kabbalah Shabbat?
Yes, not everyone says it. I think some sitters like some say. Not everyone says it on the clock. Again, some people are a little bit like weirded out by like too much.
Always, like, rushing
yeah, some people are like, a little bit like weirded out by like too much Kabbalah because like it's like such a strange text because it's like what is this? Like Lecharodi like has a nice tune and it's like what is this on the car? It's like I don't even understand it. So yeah, not everyone says it, but it was understood essentially by some as a bridge between almost like this world and like Olam Haba. Like it's a bridge to get you into Shabbos. So that was like very important for some to recite it. I'll add also that the Zohar says that the Kaftet that we just said, Mizmo David, has seven kolos, just like the seven lines, just like the seven kind of break the lines in which you can break down the name of God, the 42 letter name of God, into seven sections. So there is a connection between the kolos and Anabakoach. Okay. Also, for those who are familiar with this name, Nathan, he's called Nathan Hazati, Nathan of Gaza. He was, he went off the Derech later on. He became the Navi for Shaphat Tzvi. But essentially, here, like, I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
but essentially, maybe before he went off the Derech, I don't know. He thought that you should do this, like, before the Chadodi, as like a tikkun. Okay. Okay, so that's Anah B'Kach. It represents, again, it's hard to like exactly go through like each of these because each of the words is like also like
somehow looks like interchangeable because there's different texts. It's really just trying to get you to say the 42-letter name of God, right? That's the purpose of it. It's like
what it is not as critical, but that part's important. Okay, so let's look at the last two, which is Nidrash Neim HaShabbos and Hashem Allah. So obviously, you get the Shabbos. Nidrash Neim HaShabbos. Right? That's important, right? Because now it's Shabbos, right? And obviously, the Tehillah itself was written probably about Shabbos, about a day of rest. And if you look inside, for example, so Shabbos, we said a Shabbos Malkasa, Shechina. But according to many, it's also Yesod, right? It's Yesod being the masculine, and Shechina, Malkasa, being Malchus, being feminine. So it's this unification that takes place on Shabbos. And we also, at the end, right, it ends like Tzadik Katamar Yifra. Tzadik, a Tzadik is a righteous person, but it's also referencing Yesod, according to the Mekubalim, because Tzadik, it's like Yosef at Tzadik. It's this, it's a very masculine piece in terms of Mekubalim's perspective. So Mizmor Shir, Yom HaShabbos, by the way, was what, according to Rav Moshe Cordovero, is when you accept Shabbos, right? Arizal thought it was Mizmor David. So we say Mizmor Shir, Yishalem Mishah, some have the custom to stand because they're being Mekabal Shabbos. Some say, nah, I already did by L'Chadodi, it's fine. The Rav Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, was also a huge Mekubal, said Mizmor Shir HaShabbos is when you accept Shabbos as well. And the reason we close Mizmor L'Shem HaShabbos with the next one, didn't I just say it's Shabbos, so what's with the next one? Why do you think we say the next one, Hashem Malach Hu Lavish? Or we just did Shabbos, why we, what's the purpose of the next one? Because this is the whole point of it. If we get to Shabbos, Me'ein Olam Haba, and everything is perfect, then, only then, is there real Yuchud Hashem, is there really Hashem Echad, which is when Hashem is Melech. Hashem Malach, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei is king. When we unite Yud Kei and Vav Kei, the queen to the king, the chasim with the kala, that's why we get it. So everyone had the custom of saying Mizmor L'Shem HaShabbos, followed by Hashem Malach, because that's like the natural way in which you get to the end goal, which is essentially getting to that moment. We'll wrap up in a moment, but I want to add something I didn't tell you before, which is quite fascinating. So obviously, I told you Tehillim is written way, way, way before Kabbalat Shabbat is accepted upon ourselves. But the Mekubalim loved something else about this order. So, starting with Psalm 95, right, I told you that was what the Rav Moshe Cordovero did, right, starting with Lechune Ranana. If you take the first letter, take the first letter of each of these Psalms, Lamed, Shin, it may say Hashem Malach, but Yud, right? Because you could have Yud, Mem, Yud for Hashem Malach. Okay, right? If you take all of those and the Mem of Mizmor David, so you get to a number. You get to a particular gematria. Does anyone want to take a stab at it? Anyone want to try? We can do it together. What's Lamed? Just somebody has to tally for me. 30. What's Shin? 300. So 330. Yud. 340. Mem. 380. Right? 40, 80. Yud for 99. That gets you what? I said 380. Now we're at 390. And then Mem gets you to what? We're at 390 now. 430. Beautiful. So isn't that the most meaningful number? 430? What's it mean to you? What? Okay, so we already have a number in the Torah. The number 430 actually shows up in Shmos in the 12th Perek, right? It talks about how long is Golas Mitzrayim. Now, we have the Ramban Rashi describe it. Is it four? But the Torah tells us you've been in Mitzrayim for 430 years. Now, from when we start counting is a different question. So, fine. Okay, great. What does that mean? Keep that in mind. Geula. Exactly. There's this Geula going from Golos to Geula. Is 430. So there's something there about the number 430, but I'm going to give you another one. The word nefesh. This is not a plug for like nefesh. I mean, not just great, but it's not a plug for nefesh. Nefesh is 430, right? Because nefesh is another kind of a term for like a neshama yisera. So what are we doing? Each psalm is building up to Kabbalas Shabbos. we're getting ready to accept our Neshama Yisera, which is the gematria of 430. So despite the fact that these five psalms followed by Mizmor David, again, 29 doesn't come after mine, but they come together and represent this nefesh, to accept upon ourselves this extra nefesh. Also interesting, the word, there's a number of other words that also kind of fit into this category of 430, but there's actually much more to be talked about next week when we look at Lechadadi, because 430 and these gematrias will come up left and right, literally Yamin Yismal, when it comes to Lechadadi. Lechadadi was written as a poem, but deeply Kabbalistic, and like the refrain and different paragraphs are deeply Kabbalistic, and there's a lot of gematrias, and some of them are already alluded to here, and we'll see them build up on this next week. Okay. Yes.
I think also we say Hashem Alach twice. Like we say in Friday mornings. Do you think that also like the two represents unification? Maybe?
We say which Friday morning? Oh, we say that psalm. Yeah.
Maybe that's also the unification, having two, going from like the whole to the Kodesh.
Yes, that's absolutely possible. And I also say there are some of the minhag, there's some shuls, it's probably a later minhag, that they actually say on Friday night, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, twice. I think they say it in Prague. There's a few cities, there's like some reason, they have some reason for it, kind of related to like some pogrom, I feel like. There's like some reason for it. But there is, they do actually, some places actually say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos twice.